It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
And so I says to Mabel, I says, I don't remember which episode they're from, but there's a Simpsons episode where Bart's talking to Lisa, and he says, and so I says to Mabel, I says, and then, like, a parent interrupts, and he's like, just a minute. And then they have a conversation, and then the parent leaves, and he turns back to Lisa and says, where was I? Oh, yeah. So I says to Mabel, I says, and then the scene cuts. Yeah, it's weird. Yeah. Hello, everyone. I'm not in a really great mood, so this is going to be fun. Two podcasts in a row. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast in the world that makes its own gravy. When you pour the water on it, it makes its own. Do you remember that with the dog food?
Yes. Yeah, I didn't quite get the reference there at first, but now I understand.
Yeah. I'm Tony.
And I'm William. And this is episode 353.
Is it
53? Yeah.
Okay.
But I remember watching those commercials and thinking, that's like saying the chocolate cereal makes its own chocolate milk. I mean,
they absolutely say in the commercials. No, that's a legit thing. I forget which one.
No, I know they claim that, but even as a kid, I thought, no, that just because some
I
of
feel
the
like that one's more true. But what they should say is not that it makes its own gravy, makes its own broth. Because when you mix water and what I assume is bouillon,
yeah, like I that's suppose. What you get. I suppose that's.
But I always found it kind of fascinating. My dog got a mix of dry food and wet food that then I would mix together. Hmm. And in fact, during the years when it was my job to feed the dog, I would add a little bit of water so I could get the really smooth texture going. Mm. So,
and your dog liked
that?
It was
pretty fancy. She ate whatever was. She could not have cared less. I think I had like a chef's pride doing it that way.
Okay.
But, yes. So for those of you who've never joined us before, it's a hell of an opening, but they really all are. Here's how this show works. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Folks like yourselves, cool people, nice people, write into that address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, topics, things like that. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifests physically within the hat itself. We, its erstwhile servants, draw the note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour, that's the show. And I'm not going to explain that in the second episode, because you should really start here. So if you were starting the second episode and heard me say, because I will, that you should go back to the first episode, welcome! Here's where you should start. Much better place here, yeah. By the time the next episode is ready to be put out, I will be driving to Christmas.
And that's going to be?
With Trisha's family in Chillicothe, Illinois.
Yeah.
So we can't record it then, so we're going to record it tonight. And then we won't miss an episode.
Lovely.
Yes. So how has your week been?
Well, let's see. We did gaming.
What'd you play?
That game where we were dragons again. I always forget the name of it. We finished our little campaign, I guess you could call it. That was fun. What else?
You haven't seen Last Jedi yet?
I mean, it just came out today. I mean, I suppose, were there midnight showings last night or something?
I don't know, but you could have seen it during the day.
Yes, I could have seen it.
You guys are weird. Your wife might have taken the day off for, like, Star Wars Day.
Might have, because there's, like, an 8:30 in the morning showing.
Yep.
And we did consider that.
See? But so no. That's reasonable.
We did not see it. We are going to see it tonight, though.
There is a friend of mine who, like me, really detests spoilers on things. And he's playing this Japanese interactive novel right now. And he's like, I don't even know where it's going to go, but I think it's going to get really weird and stuff like this. So I went to Wikipedia and looked up the plot and read the whole plot. And I'm just driving him crazy by telling him that I know what happens. And then when I left for lunch, because this was over work chat, and I'm like, I got to go to lunch. When I come back, I'll spoil your game for you. And I came back, and I named one of the characters, and I'm like, so-and-so is the Last Jedi. And I'm like, see? Spoiled two things at once. Yeah. But then I informed him that net neutrality had failed, and so he was just sad the rest of the day.
We're seeing the 10:30 show. I'm a little worried about that because, I don't know, going the very first night gets crowded. I mean, 8:30 in the morning, I'll bet it wasn't crowded at all. I would love to go at 8:30 in the morning. But all the shows...
Wait, so you're seeing it 10:30 tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
All the shows up to 10:30. I mean, we were going to see it at 10:30 anyway, but it did so happen all of the shows up to 10:30 were sold out. And that's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of theaters. I don't know if the 3D ones were sold out, but we didn't want to see it 3D anyway. So we will see it tonight.
Lightsaber's coming right at you.
My wife's aunt, and I by that I mean her mom's sister. I mean, I have to clarify that because just about all of my aunts and uncles that I talked about as aunts and uncles were not my parents' siblings. They were my
great aunts and uncles. Yeah. Trisha had that a lot too. Trisha was weird because her mother had an uncle named Dave, and then her mother's sister married a guy named Dave, so there was Uncle Dave, and then there was the other Uncle Dave.
Yeah. Well,
they're actually both dead now.
Because that makes me a little sad. I have one uncle, basically, and so my dad didn't have any siblings, and my mom just had one. So whenever I talk about aunts and uncles, it's usually one generation away. But this aunt I'm talking about is my wife's mom's sister. Passed away a couple days ago, and we don't even know. Apparently, she'd been sick for a month. We didn't know. Nobody told us. They live in Alabama, and we still don't know what she was in the hospital for. So that's been kind of upsetting for my wife. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons we're seeing the film tonight was actually we were planning just to see it Friday or tomorrow.
Yeah.
But there was a chance we can't make it to the funeral or whatever, that's tomorrow, and there was a chance that maybe we could talk to some people or I don't know. So she can get bereavement time for aunts and uncles at her work. So she took Friday for bereavement time and decided, well, we'll watch the movie Thursday night then. So that's why we're seeing it tonight. Mm-hmm. She people always ask, and I think it's always a relevant question, how close she was. There was a period of time where she spent a lot of time with her. One of those deals where I don't think she's...
Is this the one who used to make all the BLTs?
No. All right. Actually, that's a good question. I remember that story, but I don't know. But it's one of those deals where...
One of the only stories I remember your wife telling.
She didn't spend much time with this aunt as she was growing up. But then I think there was a time after she went to college. Her husband taught in Waterloo. And she'd go up there and spend quite a bit of time. So she got to know this aunt pretty well that way. And I think she took my wife out to Las Vegas, the only time my wife's been to Las Vegas. So I've never been to Las Vegas. But then she barely saw her after that, for like a four-year period, saw her a lot, and then basically never saw her again.
I had that with my mom's sister. She was very heavily involved in my life when I was younger because I would regularly go stay with them. Mm. Like, that was a common, if my parents wanted to take a trip, give them to them because they already had two kids and I got along with them fine and, it was great.
Sure.
So I spent a lot of time there and she was very, momish to me and a lot. But then, I got older and we didn't really interact too much. And then she got really bad cancer and... It got to a thing where we were like, she's got a couple of days, maybe.
Mm.
And so I called her, and I was able to, it was interesting. The lead up to this made me sort of think about it, and I realized that she had played a way more significant part in my, you know, formative years than I had ever thought.
Yeah.
And so I told her about that, and I thanked her for that, and we both cried, and it was a good way to be able to finish things.
Well, I think my wife would have liked the opportunity to call her. Absolutely. Although I'm not sure she could have talked to her, because I guess she had a, what do they call that when they put a...
Feeding tube?
Yeah, that, but I think she was also, for breathing purposes.
Oh, yeah.
I forget what it's called.
Yeah.
I'm not sure she could have talked to her anyway.
She could have listened.
Well, yeah, she could have listened, exactly. So it's been kind of a process of first being, actually when we first heard the news, it was, I think the news came to us like, this hasn't been confirmed yet. It's like, what do you mean hasn't been confirmed? This is just a rumor that this woman is
dead? Somebody said they saw her.
That's weird. And so then there had to be that of, well, is she or isn't she? And hoping, of course, she wasn't, but suspecting she must be, or, you know, why would this rumor even exist? And then it was confirmed by some people, and it's just tiny little bits of information just coming, and nobody's just saying, well, this is what happened, this is how it happened. And so it's been very frustrating that way. And also, you know, the grieving process of, like you said, you realize certain things, like when you remember, oh, I remember when I...
Well, it's not uncommon to start the mourning process long before the actual death.
Yeah. So,
like, to have it happen all at once is much more traumatic.
So, you know, she'll be in the middle of her work day and remember something that they did, and it'll affect her and stuff. So it's been kind of difficult. And I've never met this woman. You know, my wife and I have been together really for like, you know, almost 20 years, and I've never met this woman. Now, she didn't even come to my wife's grandmother's funeral. I don't know why she couldn't make it. The other two sisters were there, but that would have been my opportunity to meet her, and I never met her. But sounds like she was someone who was very important to my wife, and that she cared about quite a bit, even though she only knew her for a short period of time. So that's kind of sad, but very sad, I mean. But, you know, other than that, not a whole lot going on. You mentioned the whole net neutrality thing, though.
That's
kind of sad.
What I'm actually really psyched about is everybody and their dog is suing about it. And I'm like, I think this is going to end up, if they don't just fix it by law, I think this is going to end up the courts, and I think it's going to play out well.
I think it's a good. So I think it's a good thing people are realizing that this isn't the end. I mean,
no.
There's other ways. There's legislation, and there's the courts, and there's.
It wasn't just that the head of the FCC, Ajit, I forget his last name. He's just such a smug fucker. And I hate that so much.
Well, I know that I've heard some people on
he's
the...
Like, I kept literally expecting him when he made the announcement to be, like, triggered. Like, he's such an asshole.
Well, I've heard some people on the right talking about it and trying to, you know, because it's something that makes liberals so angry, they're trying to find a reason to be happy about it. And so they'll sit and explain why it's good, and they just show how they don't even understand what net neutrality is.
Well, there are alt-right websites who are asking to be throttled because they think it'll piss off liberals. Like,
well, there are some...
But, you know, if we're considering the whole week, the other awesome... The other side to it is... Although it was really fucking close, Roy Moore did not get elected.
Yeah, that was a relief.
Like, I because I was probably gonna have to just disown Alabama if they pulled that. I'm like, way to go, Alabama.
I mean,
you pulled it out of the shitstorm.
For me, it's not so much even an issue of whether a Republican or a Democrat has a seat. It's an issue of whether or not
100%.
A creepy jerk is elected to the U.S. Senate.
Pedophile.
Yeah. I mean, come on. I mean.
Or if I'm being polite, a pederast. Is that better? No, it is not better.
Well, I mean, it's
yeah, no, and
unbelievable.
I mean, and there were so many reasons. I would have been appalled if he got elected before any of that part came out. Just his other shit.
No, you know, that's right. That's exactly right. Because he's racist and he's
and to be fair,
crazy.
I bug the right for like doing shit just to enjoy watching liberals be unhappy. That being said, have you seen the video where Jake Tapper breaks it to the campaign guy that you aren't legally required to
swear on a Bible? I did see that.
Oh, God, it's so precious. Oh, I love it so much.
Yeah,
he's just so
weird.
Confused.
He just kind of looked at the camera like, what?
Like, no, like, that was, we're going to find out later in that guy's memoir that was a moment that major things changed in his head. For good or for bad, I don't know, but that's a milestone moment.
I don't know. I've seen that look many times before, and what it usually ends up meaning is that whatever has been said is so far outside the person's expectation for reality that they don't even remember that conversation. It's just like blocked, right? It's like that look tells me
I was on TV. What happened?
My brain is deleting this thing that just happened right
lucky
now.
Lucky for him, there's video evidence. You can see it. It's like 50 First Dates. Every morning he wakes up and it's a videotape says "Play me," and you put it in and it's that.
That's
thing.
Right. That's right.
All right. Also, on good news. I give you your Christmas present, because this is the last time we'll see you before then. Now, but the problem is we can't really talk about it, because other people, including people who listen to this podcast, are getting this present.
Oh.
So, it's a little tricky. We might be able to talk about it in part two, because by then they may have it.
Okay.
But, so, this is, and literally just showed up tonight, so didn't have time to wrap it. Not that I would have
anyway.
Did
we talk about this? A little bit?
Not recently, maybe a few years ago.
Yeah, I think we did talk
about it. I mean, if you look at the front, see, you see that?
Mm-hmm.
This right here.
Yeah, I see it.
Right yeah, there. So we may have talked
yes.
that time.
That's right. That's right.
But,
I think we did.
Yeah. I feel like I gave away some shit.
If this is really cool.
You might be able to figure it out. That we're kind of proud of that. That was new.
That's nice.
And that was a definite combined effort. yeah, we were pretty pleased. And we really like that picture. Like, something about that picture, I'm like, yeah, that works.
Oh, yeah,
sorry, I'm giving away picture. A lot of spoilers here.
It's a really good picture.
A lot of you may be able to tell what it is from this, but some of you won't.
We've been buying these a lot. Maybe we'll just have to make some now.
Which one is it? Oh, yeah, no, totally.
We've been buying a lot of that lately, actually.
All right, we should not talk about this because we're going to get in trouble. All right, anything
oh,
else?
Oh, that's cool. That's kind of neat.
That was... We'll talk about it off the air. We can't talk about it right now. Anything else in your week?
Not that it's coming to mind now that I'm looking at this thing. What about yours?
I don't really have anything. I had a really bad doctor's appointment tonight.
Bad?
My blood pressure is through the roof.
Why?
In fact, we're switching one of my meds. It's hard to say entirely. The most likely major culprit is that I still haven't been able to get back to the gym because of my back. But we'll see. We're changing one of my meds, and I have to go back in a month, and we'll see how that goes.
Was that the only thing, your blood pressure?
Well, I don't know. We didn't run my A1C because we were running really late, and I had to get back and pick up Trish from work. And I'm coming back in a month, so we'll just do it then. And I don't remember what my weight situation is, but I don't really keep track of my weight anyway. So yeah, that was not fun. I'm still playing Infamous Second Son. I'm probably going to be done soon. And then I'm probably going to play Mass Effect Andromeda.
Oh, wow.
Going
to take the plunge, huh?
Yeah. We got the home office thing set up. You can sort of see where the monitor is and stuff now.
Oh,
the computer's
yeah.
here because we're recording podcasts.
Yeah.
Haven't actually gotten into the writing yet because it took a while to get it like that, and the week's been kind of busy. Yeah, don't say we're watching. We ran out of other stuff. We're into the third season of Lucifer now, and I'm really enjoying this season. It's funny, though, because every episode has some incredibly great writing and some incredibly shitty writing. Every episode. It's very weird. But I feel like they have really gone into it being an ensemble show. And that's desperately what it needed. Because the two main characters are the weakest characters in the whole thing.
We've seen a lot of promos for it, and it looks entertaining.
I will say, though, they are the absolute kings and queens of promos that are fake-outs. Like, you see something happen, and it turns out, oh, no, it's not at all like you thought because of context. Like, they are really good at that. So, yeah, every time they're like, oh, in the next episode, and you're like, holy crap, what? And then it's like, oh, because, you know, they were acting in a play, or, you know, something like that. It's always a... It's always a trick. But yeah, I feel like it's gotten pretty tight there. And to the degree that there's sort of, I mean, there's still a murder mystery every episode or whatever, but that's less of a focus, and they always have a very solid B plot that frequently will involve characters that aren't Lucifer or the cop. They're really bringing everybody in.
So how does it work that he's a consultant? How's that? Not well, huh?
Hand wavy.
Okay, so it's kind of like Castle.
I think he like fucked the mayor or something. Yeah, it's very much like Castle. Like, first he was just hanging around, and then he pulled some strings, which frequently involved him sleeping with somebody, and got assigned.
Hmm.
And now we're just like, oh, it's fine. The biggest one, of course, is that they're supposedly really good friends and have this sexual tension, and for a little while they were even going to do a romance, but of course we had to get rid of that and all that. And none of that's believable at all.
Hmm.
There's no chemistry between them. There's nothing. He's just as shitty to her as he ever was. And just wholly selfish in such huge ways. Like, it's not believable that they have this close relationship. But it is believable that the group as a whole does. And they're getting better at that. We had an entire episode that was Mazikeen, and that was awesome.
Well, do you like the show on as a completely separate thing from the Lucifer stuff you've read in the comics?
Yes, or? You have to. You okay. have to, because they do a terrible job of anything in the comics.
Okay.
When I finally came to terms with, especially the character of Lucifer, I had to come to terms with the fact that it is a consistent and interesting character, but it bears no resemblance to the Lucifer from the comics, and bears no resemblance to the Lucifer from biblical mythology either.
Okay.
It is its own thing. They do homages, and some of them are very obvious, and some of them are... I personally thought, and only people see it, that the end of season 2... had a fairly strong homage to the end of the entire comic series, and I thought that was kind of cool.
Mm.
But very much just sort of a site, like it's a reference more than a
gotcha,
thing.
Gotcha.
And it's totally its own thing. But yeah, it's just they're getting good because they have a great group of people, and they're doing dynamic relationships. Like, there are relationships that now, like, people are close to each other, and they were absolutely adversarial in the beginning, and there's reasons why they're close to each other now, and very early on, you know, there's this cop, and he's going to be a consultant, and there's another cop who's her ex-husband.
Mm.
And there's obviously some, you know, dick measuring and shit going on there. Those two are now, like, friends, like, legit friends. They still don't always see eye to eye, but like they actually like each other and care about each other.
That's cool.
And they actually built that organically.
Okay.
And so I'm pleased. And I just, you know, Rachel Harris is a joy to experience, and she's still in the show after 3 seasons. She's his therapist.
Oh.
But she takes a much bigger role as time goes on, and she's still very involved, and I'm very happy about that. Their Mazikeen is an absolute insult to the Mazikeen from the comic books. That being said, if you ignore that, it's an interesting character, and they're doing interesting things with her.
Okay.
It's just a really... It absolutely is going a completely different direction than they did in the Mike... In the Mike Carey comics, I should say. Mazikeen in Neil Gaiman's original Sandman stuff was pretty bullshit and one-dimensional and not that interesting.
Right.
But yeah, I've been pleased about that. We finished out the season of Orville. I still can't tell you if that show's good, because it can't make up its mind.
Mm.
It's like, decent episode, good episode, really shitty episode, kind of shitty episode, really good episode, mediocre episode, really good, really bad. Like, it can't make... But I will say this, whole season, I was never offended. And it's fucking Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah, yeah.
So that in and of itself is a freaking Christmas miracle.
So have you watched The Crown?
I have not. Trish watched a little bit and then stopped. I've heard good things. I probably won't go for it.
Really?
But, and there's just other things. Watching other movies. The next thing I want to do, as soon as the holidays are over, we got to jump on American Gods. Because Amazon's finally selling it. Mm. So we can get the season without subscribing to Stars.
Yeah, I thought it was okay.
I'm in the process of watching the riff tracks of a movie called Rock and Roll Nightmare, which is hilariously bad. But yeah, not too much else going on. So.
Yep, me neither.
Maybe we should hat.
I don't want to forget that one.
We can talk about it between episodes.
Okay. Thank you, by the way.
No problem. What you got?
Craig. When you've been away from the gym for a while, how do you get that motivation back?
Good fucking question, Craig, and timely, because I need that. See, this is a problem, because I'm almost to the point where, like, it doesn't hurt in the morning. It still hurts a little, but, like, I could do it. But now it is complicated by two things. One, it's basically winter now, so it's dark and cold in the morning.
Sure is.
And two, this happened the last time I had these problems. I am now used to, I get up in the morning, I sit on the couch, and I've got an hour to do whatever I want. Surf the internet, play video games, and I've gotten used to that being there. I'll tell you part of how I plan to get the motivation. I'm going tomorrow. And that is very abnormal for me, because it's Friday. And I'm like, no, I'll start next week. I'm like, no, fuck it. I'm starting tomorrow. It'll be a good proof of concept. I'll have one day to go try it. And if it's something, because like this last weekend, I did a bunch of chores and cleaning and stuff. Not amazing amounts, but for me a lot. And it fucking killed my back. So if I go to the gym and then the next morning I really hurt, it's the weekend. So that's handy. But also, I'm just like, I can't wait around anymore. Because the temptation right now is to say, I'll wait till the New Year's. I gotta stop that. So,
I'm going tomorrow. I mean, it's like most things. You just have to be determined.
Well, I'll tell you what a big one is for me in a lot of these kinds of cases is to get somebody else involved. Not just so they'll hand you on it, but because I'm really good at letting myself down. But I'm less likely to let other people down.
Sure, sure.
So, like, when Trish and I were both going, you know, if one of us was being lazy, the other one could be like, come on.
Yeah.
So that thing can help. But, yeah, I mean, analyze your situation and figure out what time is most likely to work for you. Because evenings do not work for me. I will come up with an excuse during the day to do it. It needs to be first thing in the morning. And yeah, the other thing is age. Continue to age, and that will increase your motivation, because you will get older and things will get harder to do and more painful and just awful, and you'll be like, oh my God, things are just falling off on me. So you go to the, because that's the thing. At this point, I'm not going to the gym to be buff. I'm not even going to the gym to lose weight. I'm going to the gym so my joints all still work. I'm going to the gym because in about another decade, I'm going to just start losing muscle mass for no goddamn reason. And I need to try and avoid that. Like, I'm going to the gym because I want to be alive, not because I want to be in shape.
Yeah.
So the passage of time will theoretically help motivate you. Unless you just get depressed and suicidal and then you're like, fuck it. in which case, the passage of time will not help.
No.
But, you know, I feel like you got bigger issues than going to the gym, if that's what's happening.
Yep.
You don't go to a gym. Do you exercise? You take long walks. Mm-hmm. Do you do anything else? I mean, that's a good one. That's a great one.
No, I don't. Mm-mm.
As you get older, you may want to look into some muscle training.
Yeah, I think so.
There's lots of things like that you can do without equipment.
Yep. Well, I mean, I could walk carrying
weights. But you can also do things like planking and squats and stuff like that, which you can just do.
But, I work from home, so if it gets into my head to do it, I can just do it. So
that's true. You can do it anytime the mood strikes.
So that
winter probably complicates that, though.
Yeah, a little bit, but I realize it's really hard for people who have to work somewhere else and spend 8 hours or 9 hours somewhere else every day. That would make things exponentially difficult, I would think.
So as you know, I spent the better part of 2 years unemployed a while back. Remember that was when we all went to see G.I. Joe with the 1-year-old? You, me, and Kirk.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That was a long time ago.
Yep. Yeah, no, I've been at ACT for many years now. But before that, I was, for the better part of 2 years, I was unemployed. I don't remember what I did. Because I'm not saying that I'm not lazy, but if I was at home all day, every day, I'm like, wow, I would get cleaning done, I would get exercise. Like, How did I not do this stuff before? What the hell kind of lazy ass was I back then? Because that's often my fantasy. It's like, oh, through no fault of my own, I lose my job, and then I'm just home for a while, and I can clean the house
well, and stuff like that. Didn't we start the podcast during that period?
Possibly.
Yeah, I think we did.
No, I think it would have been right after.
After you got...
Well, it was either right after, or it was right around that time. Because
yeah.
I know when I started full-time at ACT, and that was months after we had started the podcast. But I was doing contingent work at ACT before that,
yeah.
So I'm not sure. All right, I think we wrung everything we could out of that one.
Well, it's you know, getting motivated to do anything that you aren't naturally inclined to do is hard.
I'm it just takes a huge
amount of self discipline
about the rewrite on this. I'm like. I feel like this might end up taking longer than I hope.
Well, that's okay. That's all right. I mean,
well, to a degree, I'm just getting antsy because I feel really stupid telling all these editors, like, "Oh yeah, read my book. It'll be a few weeks, or you know, maybe a year."
Oh, I see what you mean.
Because there's still 10 people waiting.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Deezy from Coffee. Given the choice of anyone in the world currently alive, whom would you want as a dinner guest? What would be the first topic of conversation?
It would be coffee, and it would be this piece of paper right here.
How cute and terrible it is.
I don't know.
Because then you'd just get super recursive, and you guys would just fall into like a black hole or something.
Well, there are worse things.
It'd be good, though, because I think you guys would enjoy the meal, because she cooks a lot of vegan. She's ostensibly... vegetarian leaning vegan, so I think you guys could have
that would be great.
Good food that way. I was thinking about this earlier today, not this specifically. This is a weird one. I'm not willing to commit that this is really my answer, but it's one I consider. The president. And I'll tell you why. I feel like he is shielded from a lot of reality. And I want to be able to drop some truth bombs on him.
However ineffective they may be.
I don't know. That's the thing. I'm like, if you don't... Because the other thing you hear that I don't understand is that he's very persuasive and charismatic in person. Like in
you do hear
private.
That. You do hear that.
I can't imagine that.
I can't either.
But I know... I feel like I know some of the sort of social engineering and tricks that he does, and I feel like I could immunize myself against those.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what I'd be like. And also because... And it's morbid. But I have this curiosity about... What the hell is really going on in there? How much is stupid? How much is straight up dementia?
Mm-hmm.
And how much is having been raised in a state of lifestyle and privilege that he just doesn't understand how the world is? Which is arguably a different kind of dementia, but it's a social one. It's not a clinical one.
Sure.
And I'm like, I don't know. And I used to have these wonders with W too. But this one is so much, I'm like, how much does he know what he's doing? How much does he believe his life? And I really want to get in there. But it would not be a fun evening, that's for sure. I just think of like a positive. Who am I big into admiring these days? Ooh, actually, I have a fun one. If it could be a married couple, I think it would be marvelous to have dinner with David Mitchell and his wife, Victoria Corin Mitchell. One's a British comedian and one's a very funny British journalist.
Hmm.
And they both presenters and stuff. I watch a lot of British panel shows off of YouTube recently, to the degree that, like, I get jokes because I heard about, like, I learned news stories from one show, and then I see a different story that was, like, years later or earlier, and they make a joke, and I'm like, I get that because of that other thing. And I've loved David Mitchell for years, and I'm starting to fall in love with his wife, too, which is great, because they're a couple, and so I'm really happy that they're a couple. But I think it would be very interesting, because they're funny and they're intelligent. I think it would be very interesting to have conversation with them. I don't know what the topic would necessarily be.
I would like to talk to whoever the person is who is most likely to like my pitch ideas and have the ability to do something with them.
That's a good one. I like that. I like that a lot.
I mean, there are people on... I've started to watch these commentators on YouTube. I mean, I get a lot of my news from YouTube now. Just news. Uh-huh. And I've found some commentators who aren't giving the news. They're giving their opinion. But I'm interested in that. Some conservative ones and some liberal ones. And any of those people I wouldn't mind sitting down and talking to. Just because I think the conversation would be fun and interesting. Mm-hmm. Would there be things we disagree on, but it would be okay. We wouldn't hate each other for it. Yeah. And so on and so forth. You know, like, I've been seeing some interviews with Patty Jenkins recently and thinking, wow, she's such an interesting person.
Ooh,
and
of course, that would be a good choice.
And I'd love to have a conversation with her. Yeah. But when, you know, if you ask me, like, if I could have a if I was talking to a genie and the genie said you could have a conversation with anybody, I would probably try to pick someone very practical who could help me sort of get, you know, my own career going in this direction, because if that happens, then a lot of the people I would like
then
to talk to,
dinner with a lot of
yeah, I might actually work with them, or I might actually have a reason for them to want to talk to me. Like, Gabby Dunn and Allison Raskin,
who
do Just Between Us.
I dropped that a while ago, by the way.
I know, but Allison Raskin really fascinates me because her acting and her script writing is very, there's something very old fashioned about it, but like in a good way. And I just have a feeling there's, you know, if I were a producer or something, I would feel very comfortable like just giving her a big chunk of money and saying just do whatever you want and let's see if it works out, because I think she's very smart, and I think she could really make something great, you know. So things like that, where it's like, I would really love to be able to talk to this person, but I'd like to have like a bunch of money so that if they have a great idea, I could give them the money and let them do their great idea.
So you either want a bunch of money and then somebody that you could
give the money to,
or somebody that has a bunch of money that
you could patronize me, right?
See, I didn't even think of those. The one that's bugging me is I want somebody that I feel like I have something to contribute to a dinner conversation. Because too many of them, and sitting here, you know, fantasizing about dinner with David Mitchell and Victoria Coren, I'm like, that would just be me
picking their brain. Yeah, yeah.
I would just want to hear more about their relationships. So I'm like, who? And I also, there's a lot going on. Like, I feel like right now, there's people in the zeitgeist that I'm like Rose McGowan would be a hell of a person to have dinner with right now. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that. I don't know. It's a tough one. And it's weird because normally I don't care, but right now I'm like, this would be awesome, but I don't know who it would be. And there's also a bunch of people that I'm like, yeah, I kind of hate them also now, so that's no good.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many... Again, so many fucking white guys out there that I'm just like, no. By the way, in case he listens to this, I don't think he does, but in case he does, Matt Damon, shut the fuck up.
What did he do this time?
Oh, God. He's talking about the sexual harassment stuff, which, first of all, no. And second of all, he's doing the whole, we're just so knee-jerk now, and like we're just judging, and he brings up Louis C.K., and he's like, you know, he admitted it, and fault, and what the issue is, so I'm like, we could work with that. I'm like, no, shut the fuck up! You don't understand, and you're not wanted in this conversation right now. Shut up.
You suppose he's responding a little bit to the Affleck... You know, he's friends with them, right?
Absolutely. I mean, isn't he? Absolutely. Well, and he and Weinstein experienced a lot of, I mean, Weinstein helped him out a lot.
Oh, that's right. He and Affleck both were helped with Good Will Hunting and stuff.
And it's just, and what I think it is affluent white guys are scared that things are going to hell for them, even if they, you know, feel that they haven't made these transgressions.
Well, it's kind of like that.
So they're trying to stop the skid, and I'm sorry, no, I want this to be goddamn revolution. And if it's bloody, it's bloody, but it needs to happen.
Well, it's kind of like what you were talking about with that one guy. He was saying, I see these revelations, and I don't think, where's it going to end? When are they going to come for me?
Yeah.
And I have to admit, a lot of times when I read about these things, I think to myself, you know, when you realize the truth about male privilege, and you realize how often you didn't even realize it was, you were...
This whole experience is catching me off guard. Yeah, there's moments where I'm like, now wait, and I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah, like...
I'm learning a lot from this, too, and it's very uncomfortable, well, don't get me wrong, but...
Here's the thing that always gets me is when guys say, I don't remember it like that. Okay.
Which is the constant go-to right now.
Which is a... It's a cop-out.
Oh, yeah, it's a nice way of saying, well, that's your opinion.
But it's also... There's also a truth behind it of, yeah, of course I'm going to remember it different.
And I do legit believe that some of these guys who raped some of these women are insane and dumb enough and privileged enough that they didn't realize it was non-consensual at the time. It does not make it any better.
No, right. So it makes me some, you know.
But
makes
it, it is bafflingly terrifying that I think that is true.
Well, but it makes me stop and wonder, you know, what do I remember different, right? I mean, if I went back and talked to all the women that I ever had relationships with, what would they say? And how would I remember it?
No, you know? And there's definitely stuff in my adolescence that I'm like, yeah, no, that's legit. I mean, that's not... Well, and we know, because I spent years as a nice guy, and that was a mess. I mean, there's absolutely stuff back there.
Well, what?
I don't think it's anything on this scale, and it's, you know, I attempted to make amends and things like that.
Sure,
and,
sure.
And accepted fault. And in a lot of cases, it involved a lot of drug use for various people involved. But I mean, that there's no question. I mean, again, I was the big man, so I'm... had control over.
Well, I just think, you know, there's got to be. I mean, I can't stay up at night just wondering about the possibility that something happened that I don't remember.
Absolutely.
On the other hand, I do have to acknowledge that as a man in this culture, it doesn't matter how enlightened I was or thought I was. I mean, I had a lot of female friends. I mean, I had some fairly feminist ideas even when I was very young. But that doesn't mean I wasn't impacted or affected by the culture that was, you know, being impressed upon me. And my mom and dad had a fairly traditional situation, you know. So, obviously, I was impacted by that. So, I mean, I don't know, you know. I have no idea if I thought something was perfectly okay or normal or whatever, and it wasn't. I have no way of knowing that because my memory is going to be framed by my own,
yes,
you know, perspective.
Yes, and if you were presented with it by someone who was involved with you, excuse me, you would apologize and you would attempt to make amends.
Exactly.
Suffer the consequences, whatever it is. And that's the important thing here. We're all, well, not all of us. Some of us are shitheads. A ton of us are doing the best we can, and we're a victim of the same horrible culture, so we don't understand what's right and what's wrong, necessarily. They're telling us. Women are telling us. Men who are victims are telling us we have to listen to them.
Yeah, that's right.
And respond with the appropriate level of compassion and penitence and accept the consequences for our actions.
But part of that is realizing that how we remember it. I mean, to say that's not how I remember it doesn't mean anything.
No, absolutely not.
In fact, it's a very terrible thing to say.
No, it's very on par with I'm sorry if you were offended.
Yeah, yeah.
Shout out, though, I never thought I'd say this because I do not like him, to Morgan Spurlock.
Well, that's who we're talking about in a way because he said
yes.
He said...
And I've always disliked him. And now apparently he's a fucking sexual predator, so that's worse. But he's the first one who has come out publicly of his own initiative nobody called him out, and then he showed up to do it. And I feel like that's a milestone, and I hope more people are going to do that. He has said, you know what? This has made me think about things, and I realize, me too, on the other side.
On the other side, yeah.
I am also an offender here, and I'm going to admit to it, deal with it. I want more people to do that, because there's something, no matter how sincere the apology seems or whatever, there's really something awful about the fact that, well, now that it's come to light, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like you didn't know this was going on before? And I mean, you know, like Al Franken's like, oh, I didn't realize or whatever, which, you know, I don't know, but that's a problem if you didn't. I stayed out of whether or not he should resign. Now that he did, I'm like, that was the right call. Just because it gets in the way of what's happening. He's an obstacle. And it's too bad if he was acting in good faith and didn't realize, and in some ways he's a victim of his own socialization. That sucks if that is true. It doesn't change what needs to happen.
No,
somebody who does that needs to be not in that position of power and needs to get out.
Well, that's another thing about this is there need to be consequences.
Absolutely.
I mean, it can't just be, oh, that happened 30 years ago, that's not how I remember it, and done. No, there's got to be. And even if the consequences, like you said, you listen, you say, oh my gosh, you know, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that I did that. Is there anything I can do? I mean, how can I make amends here?
Yeah.
If it's just that. But, you know, sometimes it's going to be, well, you have to resign from this, that, or the other thing.
Especially if you're in a position of influence. It's like, clearly, you're either a shithead, or at best, your head's not screwed on straight with these things. You should not be leading. And that means leading culturally, leading governmentally, any of that.
Well, and you certainly need to figure some things out before
tend to your shit.
Before you're deemed worthy to lead again.
And let us remind everyone, our president has, 18 women claiming allegations, including a lot of underage ones, and several of which he's admitted to. He has bragged. I know there's the grab him by the pussy tape. There's also shit he said on Howard Stern back in the day when he was just a reality host. The dude, he's a sexual predator. Among so many other things, he's a sexual predator. We need to never forget that. For however long he is in power, we need to remember that, and we need to treat him accordingly.
Well, honestly, that fact alone, I mean, there's a lot of other things, but that fact alone, you know, made me think this guy's completely unelectable.
Oh yeah.
And that fact alone makes me most ashamed that he got elected.
He has so many facts that all by themselves make him unelectable, in my opinion. But nope.
But I don't know how. I mean, you know, people are saying, well, all right, so now Franken has stepped down or whatever. Now we're in this kind of a new environment. So maybe this is a time where it's reasonable to demand that he resigns or whatever, but he's not going to do that.
No. He will never resign. He gets impeached, or he finishes his term and doesn't get a second term, or he gets a second term because fuck everything. But he's never resigning. He's never resigning. I'm really hoping, the best I can hope for, and it sucks, is that Democrats take control of the Houses of Congress again in 2018, and then we all just wait out his insane last 2 years. Because I don't see another answer. I don't think charges are ever going to effectively come against him. I don't know. Maybe the Russia probe turns up something.
For a lot of the sexual things, the statute of limitations is gone.
Oh, yeah, no, that's all.
That's the big thing there. No,
that's an ethical issue, and he certainly won't back down on an ethical issue. He has none. No, I mean, maybe the Russia probe turns up something, I don't know. But even then, I think he finds a scapegoat and he keeps going. So, remember to vote, people. Always, always vote.
Well, and if you're inclined, you know, write a senator or congressman or whatever. I mean, that doesn't hurt.
You know who I keep going back to in my head as somebody to have dinner with? LeVar Burton.
Why's that?
I don't know. I mean, I do, but I don't. Like, I haven't really cared about LeVar Burton for a while. I mean, I like him or whatever, and we supported when he was trying to bring back Reading Rainbow and all that jazz, but it's not like he's played a big part in my life now. But between Reading Rainbow and Star Trek The Next Generation, he played a huge part in my formative years. And he just seems like a cool and interesting and intelligent guy.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I often hear about people I admire. Again, Patty Jenkins is an example. But I don't know if it ever occurs to me I'd like to have dinner with this person. But like I said, there are some commentators and some thinkers, I guess, or people who are creating content of a philosophical, political nature, who I often do think to myself, wow, I'd like to sit down and talk to that person. I don't know what the difference is. I mean, I certainly admire Patty Jenkins, but for whatever reason, it doesn't occur to me to sit down and talk to her the way it occurs to me to sit down and talk to this person.
Yeah, I'm not...
I think it's what you said. I think I could contribute to the conversation with that person, and with Patty, I would just be sitting there picking her brain.
Well, that's the... in general, and I don't know why, but my decision is not largely influenced by, you know, who could help me if they thought I was cool or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, and I don't know why, because I would have thought that was a thing. But the other levels, there is, like I said, what can I contribute to the conversation? And then there's who do I think I would have a good time with it?
Yeah, right.
But then there's also who do I think having dinner with them I would learn things or experience things that then I would take with me later in life. And those are different things. I could have an absolute great 3 hours with so-and-so at dinner, but then other than having a cool story about that, nothing would really change.
Right.
Then there's other people that I'm like, oh, I could really learn a lot from them at dinner.
Right.
But that butts up against... would I be interesting to them? And then there's people that I'm like, they would just like to talk the whole time, versus other people that I'm like, I feel like they would converse with me. Michelle Obama pops into my head also. I feel like that's somebody who's intelligent and who would have a lot interesting to say, but would also be very good at listening and contributing back and forth. Yeah, it's very hard to say. I just keep thinking of people I definitely wouldn't want to have dinner with. There's a lot of those. Matt Damon at the moment, but... And that's... things are so complicated right now that, like, all the people I'm thinking of are, like, immediate. Like, there is no other point in my life before the last 6 months that I would ever put up Rose McGowan as somebody I want to have dinner with. I just would not. Yeah, you know, that girl from Charmed who had the machine gun leg in that really shitty movie I didn't see. Like, never would have. But now I'm like, holy shit. Yeah, that'd be awesome. Patty Jenkins is a good one. There's a lot of ones that I'm, like, uncomfortable with the idea, but I think it would be good. Ava DuVernay would be an amazing one, but it, like, makes me nervous because I'm so white, man. Mm. Like, every day I'm aware of, like, how... I feel like I have a decent handle on feminism. Like, obviously I don't know a woman's experience, but, like, I know a lot about it. I talk to a lot of women, and I interact with a lot of... And so, like, this... I'm like, I am so out of touch with the black experience. And to my own credit, I know that and want to fix that. But, like, I don't know. I'm... The unknowing racism in me is way bigger than the unknowing sexism in me and stuff like that. So I don't... It's tough to say.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
Abe Vigoda's dead, or that'd be the answer right there. I mean, hell.
I have to say, I'm very fortunate to have in my life a lot of very interesting people to talk to. So... You know, I don't really find myself thinking, gosh, I wish I had more interesting people to talk to, because I know a lot of people who are interesting to talk to. Sometimes they're not available to talk to. I mean, I only talk to you once a week.
Yeah, he's not allowed to speak to me there sometimes.
I mean, we talk in email sometimes. But, you know, Jazz, you know, she's far away, and sometimes, you know, conversations in email are not that easy.
Sometimes I think she's high when she's emailing.
Um, So, you know, and I love talking to my wife. I mean, I think you and I have both really hit the jackpot in that way, having partners that we can have really good, stimulating conversations with.
Exception to me, since I was young, and it's very unconscious, but then I can see it when it's pointed out. My mother, the way my mother said it to me is that I tend to make friends that I can easily dominate. And I think that might be a little extreme, but I frequently tend to make friends who think I'm really wise and really interesting. Sort of too much. Now, that being said, I do it. And I'm very uncomfortable around people who don't think I'm, like, hilarious and charismatic and really smart. I'm very uncomfortable with that. But I don't think that's good for me. And don't get... no offense to my friends I hang out with. You're all really smart and really funny and really interesting. But, like, I don't know. People tend to defer to me. Most of my friends tend to defer to me. And I think subconsciously I really like it that way. Consciously, I don't. But since when has my conscious mind ever run anything?
Well, I mean, as we've discussed before, I'm a highly deferential person. I mean, this comes from...
I've always liked that about
being
you.
A second child and totally worshiping the ground my brother walked on. I mean,
walks between the rows.
I've been in leadership positions before. I've been in the number one spot, and I can deal with it, and I can even be okay with it, but I'd much rather be the number two. It's just what I always was growing up. I liked it. In all the people I've ever, like, even though I like playing second fiddle to my brother, he never really took a big leadership role.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of easy for me to say that because he wasn't ever a kind of person who would abuse it or anything like that. You're probably the only friend I've ever had
who actually does abuse that.
No, who actually sort of takes that role and runs with it. Because everybody else I've ever been around who I maybe want to play second fiddle to, either they won't let me. Because this might surprise you, but in most circumstances, people who know me want me to take the lead in things.
Oh no, I'm not surprised by that at all.
Whether or not I want to do it, that happens.
I'm not surprised that you don't want to do that, and I'm also not surprised that people want you to do
that. I think when I go ahead and do it, I'm reasonably good at it, but it's not what I would prefer. And you're probably the only person I've ever known who's like, yeah, I'll do that. I'll do it.
I don't like the responsibility, but I do like the power.
Well, and I'm perfectly happy in
and it's
the second
I'm very gregarious, and so yeah, a lot of times it's very unconscious, but I sort of take the reins, especially if I feel things are not going the way that they should, and I can guide them that way. Like, yeah, my subconscious mind is incredibly pretentious and full of itself.
Well,
my conscious mind is only kind of pretentious and full of
itself.
Okay,
but you shouldn't. You are good at what you do.
I'm not going to disagree with you on that.
But you do?
No, I don't disagree with you, but that's part of the... I don't like that. I don't like that kind of confidence because I feel like it makes it really easy to get domineering.
Well, maybe, but
like,
I mean, I don't know
about
that.
If I go into each situation, at least, again, subconsciously, knowing that I'm going to have to run things or it's not going to be done right, that's not good, even if factually it is true.
Well, but you don't have to. I mean, you could just think it, I may have to.
No,
that's
what I'm saying. It's not conscious on my part. I'm
okay,
not trying think this way.
I understand.
And in fact, I often walk in going like, don't take the reins. Let other people do it. And sometimes I can do that. Sometimes I'm like, this is becoming a hot mess. Or sometimes at the slightest attempt to be like, you know, maybe I can guide. People will latch onto that. And they're like, hey, he will lead us. And so they do that. And I mean, yeah, this is a problem. Being good at something does not mean you should be doing something.
No, that's true. But
and I wish I did it less. But
well,
but I'm working. I mean, it's all a process. We're all working.
Do you really think you need to do it less?
Absolutely.
You do? Okay. Absolutely. I mean, if you think that,
I feel like I'm disenfranchising some people, especially people I hang out with regularly.
Okay.
I feel like I am. Well, this, the weird one is always the scheduling thing. I schedule everything, and I schedule things that other people are leading, but I'm involved in, because I have weird obsessions with, you know, things need to be on time, we need to have a plan, da 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 da.
Yeah.
And I'm very consciously, in many cases, being like, okay, don't do that. Mm. Let them handle their own thing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work, because things don't go up to my, things are not organized up to my standards, in my mind it was a mess. And the other thing is, if I do it regularly, my friends are not prepared to handle that shit themselves, because they're like, Tony's obsessed with scheduling, he'll do it.
Right, right.
And so I have to not do it, and I have to not do it consistently enough that they step up. But the problem is, my line for the bare minimum that makes it functional is still higher than most people give a damn about.
Right, right.
So I can be like, they're going to have to step up or it's going to fall apart. I can not take the lead. It can fall apart by my perspective. And everybody else is like, no, that was fine.
Yeah, they're fine.
And I'm like, well, shit then. Nothing's going to change. So either I take control or I just hate everything that's happening and everybody else is like, whatever. So, because that's the other thing, is they don't usually complain if I'm willing to handle all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I don't consider it healthy. We should finish, because we got another one.
Okay.
So, if you'd like us to talk about your shit, write your shit. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. Also, go to the blog, TheMagicalTalkingHat.com, and tell us who we should be having dinner with. And also, why you still like Matt Damon. Also, why William's so obsessed with being poop.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.